So as you know, today is Maundy Thursday, and that word Maundy is derived ultimately from the Latin mandatum, which means commandment. It's the word from John 13, verse 34, which we just had read. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so also you must love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So I want to reflect with you this evening on that new commandment which Jesus gave to his disciples, to love one another as he has loved them. I want us to think together about Christ's love and about Christian love, Jesus' love for us and our love for one another. It's vital to notice that connection. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. Jesus' love for us, then, is our pattern for our love for one another. His love is the model. If you want to see the shape of what Christian love should be, then look at Christ's love for his people. We could say, too, that Christ's love for us is our motivation to love other Christians. It's also Jesus' love which empowers us to love one another. Of course, Christian love is not easy. We're weak sinners, and we're called to love other weak sinners. The problem with the church is that they're not always a terribly lovable lot, are they? Life is messy, sometimes ugly, and churches are no exception. I guess most of us have been around Christian circles long enough to know that sometimes churches can be rather unlovely. So if we struggle to love our fellow Christians, as I take it all of us sometimes do, one thing that might help us is to consider again the love of Jesus for us. Maybe it's when we lose sight of Jesus' love for us that we find it hardest to love others. But notice too that Jesus thinks that love is something that can be commanded. Perhaps that surprises us because we often think of love as something which somehow comes over us. You know, we fall in love and it's beyond our control. But Jesus thinks that love can be commanded. For Jesus, love is not only a feeling or an emotion. It also involves actions, as we'll see. I often point out to wedding couples that in the marriage service, it doesn't say, "Do you love one another?" Now, we hope that they do, but the actual question is, "Will you love one another?" And that's in keeping with what Jesus says here. Jesus expects us to resolve and strive in the power of the Holy Spirit to love one another. Love is a commitment of the will as well as a sentiment. Love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. So let's consider how Jesus has loved us with a view to how we should love one another. How has Jesus loved us? Well, let's try to count the ways, at least some of them. I want to mention five things, some of them extremely briefly. So first of all, Jesus' love for his disciples was undeserved. That's pretty clear as we read the Gospels. The disciples were, on the whole, a pretty ordinary, unpromising bunch. And there's a kind of encouragement to be had from reading the Gospels and finding how often the disciples get it wrong. Their failures are comic, really. But then often ours are too. If there's hope for them, perhaps there's hope for us too. It's a sign of the authenticity of the Gospels, by the way, that the disciples who were involved in writing them often come out so badly in them. You know, if I was involved in it, I would have done a better job of portraying myself in a positive light. The evidence of the Gospels is that Jesus loves people who are sometimes weak and foolish, sometimes confused and slow to understand or believe, who sometimes engage their mouths before they engage their brains, who made great promises and then failed spectacularly. People who could be selfish, proud, competitive, crafty, angry, irritable, self-important, and so we could go on. As Jesus spoke to them on the last night of his life, Jesus knew that his disciples had failed him in the past, and that they would fail him dramatically in the near future, and again and again. Now, sometimes in our better moments, perhaps we can manage to forgive someone once, but it's harder the next time, isn't it? Peter once asked Jesus how many times he should forgive someone. "Should I forgive him 7 times, he asks. I imagine Peter thinks that, you know, this is a pretty generous offer, really. But Jesus says you must forgive him 77 times, or perhaps 7 times 70. That's 490, isn't it? On another occasion, he says 7 times a day. The point is not to keep count. And Jesus doesn't keep count. In his love, he keeps no record of the wrongs of his people. It's impossible to calculate, isn't it, how many times Jesus has forgiven us. Well, we're to love like that. Jesus' love for his disciples was undeserved. And if we know ourselves at all, we know that his love for us is undeserved. Christian love, then, extends to those who are sometimes unlovely and unlovable. It extends to those who are weak and foolish and silly and sinful and just annoying, people who wind us up, who do the same things wrong again and again, just like we do. Christian love is gracious, kind, generous, undeserved. Secondly, Jesus' love is costly. It took Jesus from heaven to earth, from the throne of glory to a manger. We can hardly imagine what it was like for Jesus, who was rich beyond all measure, to become poor for our sakes. I think we're meant to see in this foot washing a picture of the incarnation as Jesus leaves his place, takes off his outer clothing, and wraps a towel around his waist. In the same way, Jesus has come from heaven and left aside the appearance of his majesty and been clothed with humanity that he might save his people. We're told that Jesus washed his disciples' feet knowing that he had come from God and was returning to God. And we're meant to see that cosmic journey enacted here, I think. Jesus' love cost him the weakness and temptation and pain of a full human life. It cost him the agony of the cross. More than the physical suffering, for the first time ever, he knew what it was to face his Father's wrath. Again, we can't calculate the cost of that. On the cross, the Son of God faced in his infinite person an eternity of hell for the countless number who would trust in him. Here is the most costly love that the world has ever seen. What might our love for our fellow Christians cost us? More than likely very little in comparison to what Jesus' love for us cost him. You may know the quote from C.T. Studd, the English cricketer who became a missionary to China. He said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Third then, Jesus' love is self-giving and self-sacrificial, and so is real Christian love. Jesus, we're told, loved his disciples to the end, or showed them the full extent of his love. That's what the cross reveals to us. As the good shepherd does what no actual shepherd in his right mind would do, and lays down his life for his sheep. It's one thing to give our time and effort and money for other Christians, and it's fantastic if we do that. But it's another thing to be willing to give something of ourselves. Likely we won't be asked to give our lives for others, but Jesus calls us to the way of the cross, the way of death to self, no to myself, for the sake of yes to Jesus and to others. The Christian life is one of daily self-sacrifice, daily self-giving. Fourth, Jesus' love for his disciples involved practical Christian service. It took humility. The foot washing showed that Jesus, their Lord and Master, is willing to act as the most lowly servant. It was, of course, a striking gesture, an acted parable, as we've said. But it was too a real act of service. The disciples' feet were dirty and smelly and needed a wash. That's why, thankfully, I don't think Jesus necessarily wants us to go in for ceremonial washing in church. Yeah, I struggle to see the point of that myself. It would be a pretty empty gesture, wouldn't it? Hopefully few of us need or want our feet washing. But Jesus' service was real, practical service. Following Jesus' example will mean real, practical service. And it might mean getting our hands dirty. It might mean helping someone clean their flat, or giving a lift to church or to a medical appointment, or countless other humble, practical acts of service. And then finally, Jesus' love was purposeful. He looked to the salvation of his disciples. He set his face towards the cross. He went there willingly, that he might die for his people's salvation. And in the foot washing, he explained that his intention was to make his disciples clean. He's obviously talking to Peter, isn't he? Not just about washing feet, but being made clean on the inside. The big thing was the cleansing of people's souls. So yes, of course, Jesus cared about practical, down-to-earth matters. But his love was above all directed towards the eternal, spiritual well-being of his people. Christian love should care for the whole person, but above all it should care for people's eternal, spiritual welfare, for their souls. It's worth us asking ourselves, isn't it? You know, do we care for people enough not only to give them a lift to the doctors, but also to speak to them about Jesus? So Christ's love and Christian love. Christian love that is meant to be, in a small way, all those things that Christ's love for us was and is. Undeserved and forgiving, gracious and kind, costly, self-sacrificial, self-giving. It involves humble, practical service, and it's purposeful, looking above all to the eternal spiritual good of others, that their souls might be made clean. Christian love is also the key evangelistic strategy of the church. It's all very well to have mission action plans, and evangelistic events are a jolly good thing, I think. But Jesus says, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's clearly meant to be something that the outside world can see, something which they recognise as extraordinary, and perhaps even superhuman. I wonder if that's our reputation as churches. See how these Christians love one another. As we think of our love for others, we've no doubt been reminded of the need for Jesus to make us clean. We can see that our love for others falls far short of Jesus' love for us. So thank God then for Jesus' undeserved, costly, self-sacrificial love, which makes us clean and is our only hope. May God enable us to trust in Christ, and in the power of his Holy Spirit, may he make our love for others increasingly like Jesus' great love for us, for his name's sake. Amen.